did anyone ever go back and double verify the cocaine mummy phenomenon? Because the last I heard, it was multiple specimens across all classes of ancient Egypt.
Yeah, so, I've seen a study on that. Yeah, that's verified as far as I'm concerned.
Trey, what do you think about
mummies? If you want, go ahead and cite the study and read from it for us. Go ahead. It's definitely pseudo, but, you know, that's why we love you, you know?
Okay, Bodhi, it's not pseudo. King Tut is buried with Australian boomerangs, gold-plated, bro. They're not African throwing sticks. They're Australian aerofoils. Do you wrap your head around concepts that are new to your brain or not?
That makes sense because they found kangaroos, too, on the ceiling of... No, dude. How would Australian boomerangs, right, in Australia, thousands, and that's an understatement, of miles away, get to Egypt? And why would they only be present?
Amazon Prime, my dumb bastard. Amazon Prime. Because that is literally what Bronze Age civilizations had before the Sea Peoples destroyed everything they owned.
There is a political account,
Bodhi, of a kingdom in, what was it, the Levantine region. A king received an expensive gift from his neighbor, and it was a custom-made sandal with tons of bead and rare gems on it. The construction order for that gift that was a ruse in the first place was 3 months deep and traveled across the entire Mediterranean to then come back to those Levantine country states, those city states. And then when the guy got it, he just said, no thanks, because I fear you're going to let me lower my guard as friends and then attack my people. So after 3 months of custom tailoring and ordering from multiple non-allied factions on their Amazon Prime manufacturing list, the guy just says, nah, and sends it back, return to sender. They were shipping things internationally even before the Sea Peoples arrived 1200 BC, bro. You're so out of depth on what you're talking about. It's stunning. Like, and this is within the last 10 years. So if you had read anything about modern archaeology at all, you would have run across occurrences like this that are just surprising everybody. But you haven't. You got these notions from white people from 20, 30, 40 years ago, and you're just sticking to your guns until the fucking cows come home.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're right.
Speaking of the cows, yeah. We got to show you that gene study as well, you dumb bastard.
Yeah, so, dumb bastard. We're using language like that. That's terrible, Lucifer.
Let's not do the dumb bastard.
Yeah, that's terrible language to use.
Okay. Okay, you pseudo-intellectual sophist. How about that?
I don't know why you would use the term dumb bastard.
I called you a smart bastard, Bodhi.
I'm calling him a sophist because that's what the Spartans would have called him before they beat his ass.
I mean, sir, I mean, the fact that you would use a term like that when we're just having a discussion shows that, you know, you're arguing from a... You're not even arguing. Let's be real, right?
I just gave you a paradigm shift. Your logic has to improve.
For quite some time. I think I can have a few seconds. Right. So what you have done is I can't call it babble because generally when people babble, it's like it's connected. I can understand where they're coming from. What you've done is unload, I believe, what is a schizophrenic episode of history onto my ears. Okay. And everyone who has listened to this rambling, incoherent rant is dumber for it. I actually know less than I did before you started.
And now you're quoting white supremacist media as a trolling joke. Nice.
I'm not joking. I'm very serious, and it's very harmful to history.
You're not even original enough to make up an insult. I called you a 2,000 plus year old insult, and you reply with a white meme. You're so intellectually lazy. You shouldn't even be in these conversation spaces,
Lucifer. Show some impulse control. Act like you're an intelligent adult man, like you are, right? So if you want to believe that King Tut used Amazon Prime, and that's how we got the boomerangs and the cocaine, and the ancient Egyptians had Wi-Fi, and they were on MySpace.
I was literally making an allegorical reference, but that, I guess that went over your low intelligence.
Yeah, it did, because why would you use Amazon Prime?
They had logistics similar to Amazon Prime, Bodhi. There, I've dumbed it down for you.
Right. So so in order to have logistics similar to Amazon Prime, they would have to have technology similar to what Amazon Prime uses.
And what would that be?
You tell me. I don't know. Maybe they train birds to bring things to long distances. I'm not sure a bird can really make a migration from Australia to ancient Egypt.
Okay. So you're saying that the ancient Egyptians who circumnavigated the Cape of South Africa on their own records and on Hanno the Navigator's records as well, both cultures, Carthaginian and Egyptian, went around the south of Africa from the Strait of Gibraltar. That's their origin point. They went all the way around Africa until the sun went up the other direction and then turned around. Oh, we were going too far now. They wrote that down. It's recorded. It survived white annihilation of our intelligence and data. That's a fact. So you're saying they don't have boats that can sail to Australia if they just kept going. That's what you're making the claim.
It would take months, if not a year or years, for the ancient Egyptians to undergo and undertake.
Yeah. Yeah. It's called sailing.
There's a record of this. We do know about their navigation to places. Excuse me.
There is a record of it. We have the Australian boomerangs, Bodhi. Are you not getting it?
Can you stop speaking over me? We do know stories of their navigation to places like, don't laugh. We do know their navigation to places such as Punt, right? And they would hug the Red Sea. They would hug the coast in order to make it there because they weren't great at navigating. We know this from the hieroglyphs themselves and how the ancient Egyptians described their travel. But we're not here to talk about ancient Egypt. I don't know how we got here, frankly.
So, Bodhi, all Bronze Age cultures having international trade right across the Mediterranean when people are saying, oh, they isolated and stayed within their city walls and didn't do any international diplomacy, et cetera, and logistics especially, a concept that Europeans solely claim mastery of in modern times, logistics. That's how you get Amazon Prime, by the way. You get ships, you get a schedule, and you get a man who's a good captain so his crew don't run off with the goods. That's it. That's your whole Amazon Prime network.
Trey, how do you feel about this idea of King Tut having Amazon Prime?
Rogue Theories? I wholeheartedly believe in the Gerald Massey Egypt Light of the World theory that the Egyptians reach every corner of the world. I wholeheartedly believe that, Bodhi. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And I believe the Egyptians were primarily Bantu. So the Bantu.
Well, I'm glad you have those beliefs. It's just like extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence, you know?
Right.
Okay, the cocaine mummy link is up. Someone repost that Central African rezoning because we need to discuss that. That's critical to the definition of Western Africa. And then we also have to remember Atlantis being found in the reshot structure by that white dude who just took a GoPro and went there and confirmed multiple historical documentation of that site and the method to get there. He just followed the list. It was like, wow, we have to invent new technologies for that too, Bodhi, to read?
As far as the cocaine mummies, there are some back and forth on it. Apparently, a woman named Svetla Balbanova, she was a German researcher. She's the one, and her other colleagues went on to apparently find cocaine from a mummy by the name of Henuit Tawai. Apparently, and then also there was other professors that went on to see if they could come into a consensus about it by repeating it. Apparently, there's a woman named Rosalie David, a British professor. She said that the claims were false, but they also go on to say that, but for some reason, due to religious aspects, she did not have the opportunity to investigate the mummies herself. So there's a lot of confusion when it comes to this codification about this cocaine mummy, but Svetlana and her two researchers apparently did find the cocaine within that aspect of their research.
Right, so Marak, I'm aware of this German scientist's original findings. My argument that is that it wasn't replicated, which is a fact, right? You've only presented her original findings, which I said weren't replicated. And
which
still remains to be sure that they weren't replicated.
Right, and I said that. I said it hasn't been replicated, but the woman that did not even research it herself.
So contamination is likely the explanation.
I mean, see, she was already a toxicologist long before. I mean, I don't know if we just want to go around calling someone a cocaine addict while they're a toxicologist.
Well, wait, I'm sorry. It didn't have to be her. It could have been introduced when the mummies were first discovered, like way before her, right? And people were doing cocaine. Didn't have to be her, but it was contaminated by someone. So, and yes, academics do cocaine. That is true. But I'm not accusing her personally.
Hold on, I got to interject. Everyone remember, Europeans, after they expelled the Blackamoors, were importing, grinding up, and sniffing Egyptian mummies. Anyone see a correlation between that behavior and the mummies themselves being saturated with New World cocaine? It was called mummia, and it was a cannibalistic practice of Europeans, white Europeans. So yes, they're getting high off of cocaine dust in the cocaine mummies, bro. And they've destroyed many of them because they snorted them like fiends.
All right. And so I did want to touch on the Benin Empire as well. I actually got a quote from a professor, Solodor. He went on to explain the Oba. The Oba is seen as an embodiment of spirituality of the entire people of Benin and disputing conflict resolution for the people. First established by a ruler named Ogodo, he was went on to be the king. 1200 AD, the Ogola, 1280 to 1295. AD, we saw the tremendous growth of what we now call the Benin Bronzes that came to prestige in what we now see is being held captive in a lot of off-continent areas. It's pretty much in Europe as well as where they are extracting a lot of their history and culture and using it as fodder for cash cow payments through museums.
Yes, the Benin Empire. This is one of my favorite empires. I feel very, I feel more attached to this empire than many others for whatever reason. This empire, in my opinion, was one that clearly represented a migration from now Valley Civilization. The structure of this society is still very, some people don't know everything about it. Just between, you know, the Wall of Benin being the largest man-made structure on Earth. So that in itself is keeping up the legacy of Kemet, you know, as far as, you know, innovative, you know, groundbreaking, you know, engineering feats. You know, the city structure was well governed. One of the interesting things about, you know, the kingdom was the layout of the kingdom itself. Like, I mean, it was brilliantly laid out. People were placed in certain parts of the kingdom based on age, social structure. Oba's palace. If you've ever looked at that, that's a pyramid. That is in itself a pyramid. That's a giant pyramid. And one of the things that you note on this pyramid is the Egyptian Sekri, which is represented with a bird and a serpent. And on this large pyramid, they call Oba's Palace, it's a snake going diagonally straight down the center of the pyramid, and a bird at the very top, you know, hoisting it with his little bird feet or whatever. And so, you know, I mean, when you see stuff like that, you know, I can't just dismiss it as, oh, it's just a coincidence. That, to me, represents a legacy in the culture. See, the culture is what you should look at, you know. And also, just to link it to America, just on that whole tip about the pyramid and serpent going down, you see that same theme in one of those Mexican pyramids, you know, where they say, you know, when the sun goes down, you can see the serpent actually slithering down the pyramid, which is ironically what the Oba's Palace serpent is constantly doing in this design. It's slithering down the pyramid. So there's an obvious theme there that has some relation to, you know, one another, you know, across the Atlantic. But, you know, some people, you know, like Bodhi might not be too adamant on acknowledging that. But I certainly do.
Well, that's one thing I did want you to be a part of. Last time we went over an overview of West Africa, we were, me and Lou were talking about the vast amount of totems, and the vast amount of totems that you usually see are in Africa or America. That is the only place.
Or Siberia.
Oh, or Siberia. You'll see a lot of this, these totems, especially when it comes to amalgamation of like humans and animals, totems as well, stacked, that I've just also posted in the Jumbotron as well. You'll see these pillars of these empires, especially when it came to Benin. Benin had a vast amount of totems and these pillars that were stacked on to and made an architectural design that was very much unique, or, you know, really made a staple for who the civilization was and the culture behind said civilization.
Not to mention, they always talk about the human sacrifice in Americas. Benin also had human sacrifice as well. You know, what do you say?
And the human sacrifice in Shimao City, China, but technically ancient Mongolia.
You know what?
Yeah.
You look at Stonehenge and you see a whole bunch of stones aligned with the stars. You looked at Nabta Playa, a whole bunch of stones aligned with the stars, right? You see a culture which has reference to the sun in, you know, near Stonehenge. You also see that in Egypt. Maybe the ancient Egyptians were British. Like, come on, guys. Just find me things.
Okay, okay. Well,
Bodhi, I think the context.
I got this one too. I just looked this up this week before I went to work. I looked up the alignment of these Stonehenge structures and the pyramids, and it turns out the Dogon are the primary culture that's still maintaining the tradition to this modern time. The star alignment is to the dog star called Sirius. It's the binary star that they found out was binary only after modern telescopes were invented. But the Dogon tribe that we were discussing last week, they already knew about that binary relationship. So this star is the announcement in both hemispheres of the Black Earth, 100,000 BC, of the beginning of summer in the north, the northern hemisphere, or the beginning of winter in the southern hemisphere. Because the Maori and all the Oceanian Black people who populated Americas also worship the stars arising in the sky. Yeah, so Bodhi, you walked right into it, buddy, because every single one of these megalithic structures have the same tradition of aligning with the Sirius star.
But it's impossible for these people to be connected, Lou, because that it's impossible for people to migrate around the world. That's impossible, Lou. That's only been possible since 1492, Lou. Stop it, Lou. Okay, since Columbus
got me.
So it's not about possibility; it's about evidence. And you can make any claim you want. You can make the claim that I don't know.
I'm not making the claim, Bodhi. It's on Wikipedia. I literally read up my research on the alignment of these structures, and it gave me the name of the star and the purpose.
Very cool.
Okay, so he's describing
Bodhi. Let me say something, because Bodhi, this is something.
Anything yet? Wait a second. Please stop being defensive.
All right.
I'll let you cook. You can make the claim that evil people came from the Nile Valley, right? But okay, well, first let's look at their language, right? Let's look at what time frame did this happen? What evidence do we have for a migration? You know what I mean? Is there a language shift? Let's also look at the genetics. You know, we look at things like that. And so let's look at the archaeological record to see if Igbo people came from the Nile Valley and stuff like that, right? It's really hard for me to have this conversation because on one hand, you're trying to connect Benin to ancient Egypt. And on the other hand, you're trying to connect Benin to the Americas, it looks like. I'm not sure which lie to tackle first on this, right? Like, which one do we want to go
okay.
in?
Okay, well, so what he just described to you was in the New World and in the Old World, they have a Quetzalcoatl solstice alignment on their pyramid structures. These two cultures are not in contact with each other, according to your false theory of human migration from Africa to the New World. According to ours, it's entirely possible because they're shared culture. They dispersed way earlier than Anglo-Europeans are describing to our children right now. 100,000 BC, there is a ghost population of black Negroids already in the Americas. A ghost population. They found that accidentally about 6 months to a year ago because they included African Americans in the comprehensive New World DNA genome mapping. That's all they did. They just threw everybody into the pile instead of cherry picking out the black, quote unquote, African migrants and African slaves. And then they found a brand new indigenous ghost population numbering in the millions. So whatever you're saying, Bodhi, you're full of shit because you're always wrong. Like, this is brand new, hot off the press science.
Okay, well,
everyone knows it's true.
Always wrong. Lucifer, I agree with you. I agree with everything that you said. You know, since
you can't even agree with what I have to say yet because I still have a list. I have half a page of corrections I have to make to your timeline and chronologies.
You're so wrong.
I have to keep notes now.
Half a page of babble. I don't know if you have enough time.
It's not really for you, Bodhi. I didn't want you in this conversation in the first place.
Of course you didn't. But I'm here, aren't I? So FBA.
Yeah. Trey, and you're not contributing.
Which one?
You're dragging this down, Bodhi.
FBA Trey, in the course of a few minutes, which one do you want to discuss? The Americas or Egypt? Which one is more important to you when it comes to Benin?
Well, let me slow you down, Bodhi. So, they're all connected because it's all the same people. First and foremost, and I'll just stomp down on that. But part two, let's get into the Kemet thing. Let's get into that.
Yeah. So if you actually want to look at a population that could possibly,
so we're talking about the Edo people, right? No. Let's talk about the Edo people. Let's not talk about your hypothesized Arab terrain, whatever nonsense. Let's talk about the people who. Let's talk about the people who actually have cultural features. Hold on. Let's talk about people who actually have cultural features and oral tradition of coming from Napa Valley civilization. Let's talk about that. And let's examine culture.
Okay.
Let's examine the culture of these people. So why would you say that they're not Egyptians? Like what would you see in their culture that just disqualifies them as being any sort of relative to the Kemetic civilization?
Well, they speak a language which is Niger Congo.
Okay, let's stop it. Okay, let's stop at that claim. So the name Benin is the real name is Benny. Benny is the real name. And in the Egyptian written language called Medunetter, that exact word Benny, the name of their group, the name of their group. This means the phallic gods. This literally translates into the phallic gods in Medunetter, the Egyptian language. So that's not a coincidence. It's not a coincidence. Their name literally means the phallic god, the big dick gods, and in the ancient Egyptian language. That's a very flattering name to have for themselves. I highly doubt that's a coincidence, Bodhi, to have such a flattering name in Egyptian. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I'm not. I don't speak ancient Egyptian, right? So I can't really tell you about this, especially with consonants. It's going to be very hard to go from like pronunciation to pronunciation, right? I do know that Men was a phallic god in ancient Egypt, probably the most famous phallic god in ancient Egypt. He was also associated with thunderbolts, right? Lightning. He was associated with the god Amun, Men Amun. So if you could show me a connection, right, which sort of ties that concept together. There's some Men connected to this phallic god. There's some ram-headed god like Amun connected to this phallic god. Then I might look into it. But right now you're just saying like, oh, well, if I choose to understand Benin to be ancient Egyptian, their name means phallic god. Okay. And they do not speak a language similar to ancient Egyptian. They don't. And we already know what languages are closest to ancient Egyptian. Now, you don't accept that because of Cope, but it's true. The languages closest to ancient Egyptian are Berber and Chadic. Chadic and Berber. That's it. It's as simple as that.
Got you. So what about Got you. Okay, so let me language. Got you. So let me reply to that. All right. So Copen is doing things like using logical fallacies such as appeal to authority. Coping is saying Afroasiatic exists because white people say it does, and because the mainstream white people say it does, despite the fact that the same damn theory has never been reconstructed. Coping is saying that even though this is, because these white people ignore this damning fact about their theory, I'm going to ignore it. Okay, that's bullshit, Bodhi, but that's what you're doing, okay? I'm not going to do that. Okay, that's lazy to me. That's lazy. Now, you mentioned the god of moon and, a moon in the ram's head in relation to the Benin Empire, the Edo people. If you look in the Jumbotron, you can see the transfusion of... I just put something in. It's the second slide in Jumbotron. You can see the god Amun represented in a collar necklace that's seen, of course, in Egyptian civilization, transcribed on the walls. We see that diffusion from Egypt into the Meroe civilization that would, you know, of course, spring up as a result of migration to Kemet when the Persians destroyed Thebes. They sacked Thebes, the largest city in the world. The home and seat of the Egyptian people in the so-called Niger-Congo family at the time. They sacked this region, and we subsequently scattered, mostly migrated into Meroe, but some directly migrated into West Africa. But anyway, if you look at the collars, you see that diffusion from the Egyptian civilization into the Meroe slash Nubian slash Kushite civilization. That was destroyed around the 4th century AD, which leads to more migration into interior Africa, into which you see on the bottom rows, you see the Yoruba rendition of this Amun Ra collar sculpture. And then to the right of that, you see the Benin Edo people's version of the same Amun Ra red ram's head necklace, the exact same form and fashion, Bodhi. So let's look at this. So you see their name actually having translated flattering meaning in the Egyptian language, being the phallic god. So you see that. But according to Bodhi, that doesn't mean they spoke the language. Okay, Bodhi. It speaks for itself, but okay, Bodhi. And two, you just saw that damning ram's head tribute to Amun Ra that you see transposed from Kemet to Nubia and on into interior to multiple interior African civilizations, particularly West African civilizations. So those are cultural relics and linguistic relics, Bodhi. So what else would you say culturally that just disqualifies these people from having any sort of kinship right to Kemet? And I'm not done either, Bodhi. I'm not done either.
Asked me a question, so gotcha. Do you want me to respond? Or? Yeah, okay, so you have Ife. Now, Ife is Yoruba. Are you saying that he's also from the Edo culture, or you're saying Yoruba is like this pan-Edo culture? I don't understand the connection here. Could you explain it?
Pan-Edo, I'm not sure what you're talking about.
You're talking about the Edo, and this guy's from Yoruba, Ife culture. Are those the right same thing? Are they similar? So, like, what's the argument?
Well, it seems that this rendition of this god stems from a common source. Now, what these cultures did when they separated?
Okay, so it's not specifically Edo. We've established that.
No, the Edo people did not make it up. No, it came from a parent culture in the Nile Valley, Bodhi. You just heard that, Bodhi. Stop being dumb. It came from a parent culture in the Nile Valley.
So you're not connecting the Edo, you're connecting the Yoruba. So your argument has changed, right?
So Yoruba people and the Edo people come from the same parent branch.
Cool.
It's not complicated, Bodhi.
To be fair to you, I think that you wanted to focus on the fourth panel, right? From Edo, Benin, Nigeria, right?
Both of those are modern examples. The two at the top are ancient examples. The two at the bottom, we can actually link to modern people.
So, yeah, I think that if you check my room, I don't know, I might have an Ankh or something lying around here. What is it called? Lucifer again? Amazon Prime. And so I think there's no issue with these people, taking inspiration from ancient Egyptian and Nubian culture today. I don't think that that's proof that they came from those places, though.
I think that the fact that they have this Egyptian religious... This is Amun Ra. This is Amun. This is a supreme god in Kemet. The fact that they have bought this and incorporated this into their modern culture, that would seem significant.
Yeah, that means that they believe the oral tradition. They truly believe that they descend from ancient Egypt. I'm looking for evidence, and so this would not count as evidence.
So them claiming to come from Egypt and them also practicing Egyptian religion and having Egyptian iconography being thousands of years removed from Egypt. I'm sure the people who made this did not go to Egypt, dig up old artifacts.
West Africans do anything before the dispersal?
If their parent culture is in the Nile Valley, stop being fucking dumb. Okay? Their parent culture is in the Nile Valley. So when they were together under that umbrella, a lot of great things happened. A parent culture was created. As they separated, they took elements of their parent culture and further developed it into their own unique corners. It's not that complex, Bodhi. It's not that complex. You're trying to ignore the fact that Kemet and Nile Valley civilization represented a parent culture. That's what you seem to refuse to acknowledge.
I'm not refusing anything. I think you're refusing to present actual evidence for your claim
So actual evidence would not be cultural evidence. It would not be.
What kind of language do they speak over there today? Do you have evidence they spoke another language?
No, they spoke a language that appeared to be identical to Kemet. The Yoruba people, for example, the modern people to the left of that Benin people, they have over 100 Egyptian words in their lexicon. Over 100.
Okay. And I could go to some Arab people in the north. I think it's called Sagawa Arabs.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lot of words that are also in ancient Egyptian, right? And so do Nubians in Sudan today.
I have evidence of over 100 words in Yoruba. You don't have evidence of over 100 words for whatever group you're talking about. So,
between Semitic languages and ancient Egyptian, are you joking?
So, between your specified language, get 100 words that match Egyptian, and we'll go from there.
I already have 100 words. It's not. It's entire sort of syntax, right? It's the grammar. Right? It's not just loan words.
Egyptian was not a Semitic language, Bodhi. Ancient Egyptian was not a Semitic language in any way. No, it wasn't, Bodhi.
It was not a Semitic language, Bodhi. Just a quick question, right? When did I say it was Semitic?
You say that it relates to Semitic and that there are many, many words that you can go pull out of your ass.
I have a question. Wait a second. If I took a DNA, we talked about your full genome DNA, right? You took a full DNA.
We're talking about culture, Bodhi.
Hold up. Let me make my point. If you took a DNA test, right, and a white person from Germany took a DNA test, right, would you not be related to that other human being? You would be, right?
I don't know what you're talking about. Right.
Yeah, you're right. So that doesn't mean that you're the same. Oh, okay. Let me make it easier for you. If you and your dad took a DNA test, you would expect for you guys to be related, right? Or you and your cousin took a DNA test, you'd be related. So saying two things are related doesn't mean that they're the same thing. I never said ancient Egyptian was Semitic.
Well, let's be clear here, because again, if we're talking about this so-called evidence and we already know, and you already know, Bodhi, that even one of your favorites, Soy Kida, has already contributed to the fact that West Africans were a part of ancient Egypt in more ways than one. And further analysis, when we're talking about linguistics, yes, that connection has been made in Wolof and in Yoruba languages. I'll put that up in the Jumbotron. And that's also been codified with Cambridge University and with UNESCO as well, with Wolof. So when we're talking about these West Africans and their linguistic connections, that's already been vetted.
So hold on, Bodhi. So this is what Bodhi's about to do, y'all. So you put 100 words of the Wolof, the Yoruba, and all that. I can put 100 words of the Akan, the Bamlike, okay, so forth, so on, and so forth. This is what Bodhi's going to ignore, every one of those word lists. He's going to ignore them. And then he's going to continue to parrot
his
appeal to authority. He's going to continue to parrot his appeal to authority that Afro-Asiatic, Egyptian is Afro. He's not going to acknowledge the wordless. He's going to stick to his appeal to authority, his logical fallacy. That's what's going
to
happen.
So are you going to continue?
Because he can't acknowledge it.
It's a bit odd to do, right, in the context of what we're doing here, to mute your co-host. But okay, so I'm just going to start listing languages closer to ancient Egyptian than Niger-Congo languages.
You can't prove any of that.
Bagara,
and just for context, and just for hold on, because I think that for context purposes, it needs to be put out. There was a debate between Black Bodhi and one of my primary linguistic sources, Asar Imhotep, about three or four months ago. Bodhi was thrashed in a very absolute fashion. He came on there to troll the man, but Asar Imhotep, being a serious scholar, he knocked him out with a 1-2 punch, and Bodhi's been scrambling ever since. So don't let Bodhi make you think that, you know, he's really on to this, you know, linguistic tip, because, you know, the video's out there. It's out for everybody to see. So just please know that, everybody.
FBA Trey, if you were so confident in your theory, why would you feel the need to mute me? To go on diatribes. Look,
because you're about to say a bunch of fallacies.
I'm talking.
You're about to say a bunch of fallacies.
You hear me, buddy. Talking? Why are you afraid of me talking?
Buddy, shut up.
Are you not confident? It sounds like you lack confidence in what you believe. Look.
Wow.
Interrupted again. Wow, this is amazing. So look, I understand, FBA Trey, you're a fan of Asar Imhotep, right? And you're going to cheerlead your guy. I get it.
Obinga, Mboli, Serge Firmo, they all say Bantu Kemet. It's not every one of them.
Okay, yeah. Appeal to the lack of authority. Go ahead. Do that. But you're interrupting me again. And it shows that you're afraid of what I have to say, right? Because the other day in your presence, I'll say, there was a Yoruba man. And you presented a list, and it's not this list that Maroc put up or whoever put that up, right? Of words, right, in Yoruba and words in ancient Egyptian. One example, I'll just give one example. The word in Yoruba was witch. The word in ancient Egyptian was amulet.
That's the same example. That's the only example you could pick up. That's the only one you can pick up.
Are you going to interrupt me?
It's synonym bullshit, Bodhi.
There's a recording.
Yeah, it is. Exactly.
You don't delete it. You might delete it, right? Because it's embarrassing for you. But the Yoruba.
You ignore the existence of synonyms. Synonyms, Bodhi.
Excuse me.
It's not the exact word. It's a synonym. It's a synonym. That's what you did. That's all you did.
Aren't you confident? Why are you interrupting me? You're right.
Wait, hold on. Why are you trying to pass off a logical fallacy? You know what a synonym is, and you know it doesn't have to be the same word.
I haven't finished I haven't even said anything yet. What are you guys talking about?
You're
usually you let people say
you're dismissing.
Usually you respond to what
people say. All right, let's just hear what Bodhi got to say. Go ahead, Bodhi. What?
For the love of God. Okay. So the Yoruba man clarified multiple times that the word witch in his language is referring to a person or living entity. The word amulet is very different from that word. And so that is the problem with having people like Asar Imhotep, who in front of an actual linguistics professor said, well, I've never heard your reconstruction of Yoruba when Yoruba is a language spoken today, right? When someone has that lack of facile understanding of languages, right? That's why you don't go with them at bigotry. That's why you go with the actual people who write papers and are well respected by their peers, like
hold up. I gotta stop you there, buddy. You just introduced another fallacy.
Hold up, just a few more words. I know, Lucifer, it's hard to have self discipline, right? But you end up embarrassing yourself by trying to argue with someone who actually speaks the language about what their language means when you don't speak that language or ancient Egyptian for that matter.
Okay, so. Linguistics is a soft science because languages are like hitting moving targets, bro. As thousands of years go by, slang is introduced, loan words are introduced. Even if that is the original linguistic group, their words can still mutate and change, just as we have white people today when there were no white people 100,000 years ago or even 6,000 years ago. So what are you talking about? They could have added words or deleted words. You know this. You're an educated man. You've read up on linguistics. What the fuck?
And to talk about this linguistics again, we're talking about linguistics being vetted and in a consensus. Again, we're talking about UNESCO already reviewing these ties and already going on to make the correct statement that they are, in fact, at its most archaic form, a Bantu language. And again, we still see that connection even today with West African languages as well. That's already been solidified. So I don't think there's much of a debate that we can really have about it. We can have a debate about who still speaks it and whatnot, but it's already been introduced within that faction as well. And in fact,
so Coptic was used to decode the Rosetta Stone, not Igbo, not Yoruba.
So even Coptic was a language that had to be then go on. The guy who broke it was Chambolian.
Wait, so is correct? That a fact or not? Can you acknowledge it as a fact?
But we have to understand also that Coptic
yes?
adopts from what? Ancient Egyptian, which
Wait,
would
why
be, again,
just say yes?
We're going back to the form. So yes, absolutely. Why?
Well, Coptic is the closest language to ancient Egyptian.
It's a close form to ancient Egyptians as much as Wolof is, as much as Yoruba would be.
Oh, really?
As it's already been.
So
yeah,
why
because
did he use Wolof to decode the hieroglyphs?
He was in East Africa, and I'm sure he went to use Coptic as well.
Who is he?
That introduced Semitic languages.
Wolof is an ethnic group or a language. Who's he? Are you talking about? Are you talking about?
I'm talking about UNESCO.
Oh, okay.
UNESCO that was first introduced by Anta Diop. Now, because he was Sinhalese. So when we're talking about this language, yes, it has been vetted in that manner. So. Linguistically speaking, I would say that it's neither here nor there to even have a debate. Again, if we're talking about even just the linguistics, if we're talking about other forms of it, like cranial analysis as well. Swakita was a big frontier as far as finding that that cluster to find that West Africans did have, in fact, the same analysis that they found with the cranial breakdown to say that they were a part of it as well. They say, in fact, it was West Africa, Southwest, South, and East Africa. It was a conglomerate of different people in the ancient Nile Valley. So we can't dismiss that because we already know that as fact.
And I think the most logical conclusion we can come to in regards to Egyptian language with what you just said is it's a conglomeration of languages. At the least, it was a lingua franca, at the very least, a medium for the various different groups to communicate despite their linguistic differences. In the very least, that's what it was. If you don't want to admit it was a Bantu language or a Niger-Congo language, at least admit that there was some sort of connection that allowed various people to speak the language or communicate. I mean, how else could you explain incorporation of this society's religion if there was not a thorough medium of communication? I mean, it's just so much that you are just so guarded with, Bodhi. I mean, it's just so weird. Like, I mean, even if you don't want to admit that the Egyptians were fucking look like KRS-One, I mean, damn, I mean, you are just so gung-ho with the white narrative about how this shit is. You refuse to acknowledge.
Really?
Yes. You refuse really? To acknowledge the basic lies they've told about this. I mean, for example, the Jumbotron, I just put this up in the Jumbotron. This is something that I just wonder why don't y'all just really want to accept the ramifications of Afro-Asiatic never been reconstructed? And I put this source in the Jumbotron. These are two linguists, this is, needless to say, this is peer reviewed. But this was a review of the last scholarly attempt to reconstruct Afro-Asiatic, which occurred in 1996, Barcelona, Spain. famous convention. Okay, the last attempt was done by Everett and two other scholars. They came to two, with the evidence given, these people came to radically different conclusions as to how the Afro-Asiatic language came into existence, which throws the entire theory into jeopardy, because nobody can seem to look at the evidence and come to a single conclusion. So nobody can say how the shit really came into existence. So they can't reconstruct it. Now, that's just one of the languages in Greenberg's theory. Niger Congo. Nilo-Saharan. I mean, hell, Effort even said that's a dumping ground for Greenberg. So, hell, Nilo-Saharan, Effort even said himself is trash. But it's just this persistence to try to say that this classification is God's work. This is set in stone. I think that just kind of reflects a lack of dynamic in your thinking abilities. Because if you seem to think that this is the template that God set out here, it implies to me that if that was shattered, you'll be mentally fucked up.
Yeah, I don't even think you understand what it means to reconstruct the language. Or what the implications of that are, right?
Okay, so tell me about it.
Because you don't try to reconstruct languages that aren't already connected and have been shown to be connected. We know that the languages in the Afro-Asiatic family are connected grammatically. Even your own source says so. Would you like to tell me how? Would you like me to tell you how? It's not just
read my source, bro. Yeah, read my source.
Let me tell you. So as for lexical comparisons, Afro-Asiatic scholars are in general in agreement that the findings have been more limited and harder to interpret. And so the Afro-Asiatic Union has relied mainly on morphological agreements and the pronominal paradigms in the presence of
masculine.
Oh, I can't read it.
I'm just giving context to what they're saying.
Something, then you interrupt.
That's what they're saying, yeah. They're saying that based on bullshit. No. No, I'm not saying what you're saying is
bullshit. So let me finish.
I'm not saying what you're saying is bullshit, Bodie. I'm saying what they're saying that they're basing it on is bullshit. That's what I'm saying. That's what they're basically saying, Bodie. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying what you're saying is bullshit. I'm saying the interpretation of what they're saying they had to base it on is bullshit. My bad.
I was barely able to read a sentence. This is what I'm talking about. It shows that you're arguing from emotion. You're not comfortable with dealing with the counter argument. You can never consider it because this is a religious belief. It's like trying to argue a Catholic out of believing in the Virgin Mary. That's what I'm essentially doing here with you people. The Afro-Asiatic Union has relied mainly on morphological agreements and the pronominal paradigms and the presence of masculine and feminine gender distinction. This evidence is attractive, but not completely compelling, right? And so it's not just about their vocab words. It's literally about the grammar of some of these languages, right? And the problem with reconstructing Afro-Asiatic is not in, like, finding out whether they're connected. It's in finding out, okay, was this a Cushitic influence on the Omotic or an Omotic influence on the Cushitic? And so that's what that's why they point out that, like, Omotic and Cushitic languages have what they call they share aerial traits, right? So Chadic has influenced Berber, and Berber has influenced Chadic. Ancient Egyptian has influenced Semitic. Semitic has influenced ancient Egyptian. And so that's the challenge there. You're arguing that these languages are unconnected. This is a fake language phyla, and therefore that gives you the right to somehow say ancient Egyptian spoke a Bantu language. Right. And so I never even got to read my quote before clarifying the point on Semitic languages. Let me do that now. No one who has worked, and this is E.A. Wallace Budge in his book called An Egyptian Hieroglyphic Dictionary. He says no one who has worked at Egyptian can possibly doubt that there are many Semitic words in the language. But even admitting all the similarities that Ehrman has claimed, it is still impossible for me to believe that Egyptian is a Semitic language fundamentally. There remains a very large number of words that are not Semitic and were never invented by Semitic people. These words are monosyllabic and were invented by one of the oldest African peoples in the Valley of the Nile, of whose written language we have any remains. These are words used to express fundamental relationships and feelings and beliefs which are peculiarly African, and are foreign in every way to Semitic peoples. The primitive home of the people who invented these words lay far to the south of Egypt, and all that we know of pre-dynastic Egyptians suggests that it was in the neighborhood of the Great Lakes, probably to the east of them. Okay, and so to deny that ancient Egyptian has similarities with Semitic is to be pseudo. And to deny that Afro-Asiatic languages are connected is to be pseudo. And to use that to suggest that the Benin people...
I don't think we're denying that.
...are a good candidate for the descendants of ancient Egyptians, and then skip over Chadic speakers, our Nilo-Saharan speakers, right? Like the Hausa, the Mara people, or the Songhai people of West Africa. Bit odd. Now, I'm not saying these people necessarily descend from ancient Egypt. I'm saying if you're looking for a West African population that could have come from just the Nile Valley at any point in time, right, not necessarily during ancient Egypt, those would be the populations you look at from a scholarly standpoint. You're starting off
with mute, Trey.
People are advanced. It's just unscholarly.
All right, so let me reply real quick. All right, so again, notice how Bodhi stopped reading that whole passage. Notice how he read about one or two sentences, then he shut the fuck up. He wasn't going to read that whole thing because everything that came afterwards was a crock of shit relating to Afro-Asiatic being a thing, a construct. So that was very funny to me. He was not going to read that whole, he was not going to read that one paragraph in that page. He was not going to read it. He was not going to. That nigga read one sentence and switched sources. It was shitting on everything he just said, talking about pseudo. Nigga, you don't know pseudo, nigga. They're saying that the nigga you listening to is pseudo. They're saying that the shit he's listening to is cult, is a cult. It's not based on anything fucking tangible. It's a
read
cult.
Read the source where it says it's pseudo or a cult. Go ahead, I'll wait.
Okay, let me read it real quick since you don't understand.
Yeah, go ahead.
Got you. Comparison among Afro-Asiatic languages is complicated by long-term language contact and borrowing. Where Berber and Chadic have influenced one another, Chadic also has been influenced by both Niger-Congo and Nilo-Saharan languages. Ooh-wee. Damn. Omotic and Cushitic share a real trait. Egyptian influenced Semitic and was itself influenced. Cushitic was Semitic. And Semitic, especially through Arabic, in the last millennium, has influenced many others. Afro-Asiatic Union was railed mainly on morphological agreement and the pronomical paradigms in the presence of a masculine-feminine gender distinction. The evidence is attractive, but not completely compelling, meaning it's a crock of shit. As for lexicodal comparisons, Afro-Asiatic scholars are in general agreement that the findings have been more limited and harder to interpret. Meaning it's a crock of shit. Indeed, the two recent large...
That is not what that says,
but... Wait a minute. I'm reading, Bodhi. Shut up. Indeed, the two recent large-scale attempts at Afro-Asiatic reconstructing and assembling large sets of cognates, Everett 1995 and Oral Strabo 1995, were so radically different from one another, with little in common, that they raise questions about the possibility of viable reconstruction in Afro-Asiatic. Damn, that means it's all a crock of shit. Holy. As Newman reports, the list of supposed cognates lexicodal items between Chadic and other Afro-Asiatic languages presented in the past have on whole been less reliable. Lumen, 1980. Newman, 2000, recognized that in the opinion of some scholars, the evidence supporting relationship between Chadic language family and the other languages in the groups in the Afro-Asiatic phylum, such as Semitic and Berber, is not compelling. Conclusions raise even graver doubt about being able to classify Chadic successfully. Now, that's the first big paragraph. I'm not going to read the rest. I don't want to drag you out, but
No. You said we had to read it all, so we're gonna
okay. Gotcha.
I'll do it. I'll do it for you, right?
No. I got it.
What's wrong with me reading? What's the issue?
I don't like your voice. Let me read it. There we go. All right. To sum up, as long as there are deep rooted properties like pronuncio,
See, this is why you should have let me read.
Hold on. No. I was going to unmute you. Pronomio morphemes, existence, in a given language that hint a certain genetic origin. These properties ultimately determine the classification of that language. However, since most of the ancient Semitic structures, ooh, they put that in there, boy. That's where it came from. And properties of the Chadic language have been destroyed or at least mutilated and transformed to the extent that they can hardly be identified as such anymore. Oh, it's just fucked up. It is crucial to study these languages as deeply and thoroughly as possible. He notes the enormous degree of linguistic complexity we encounter in the Chadic language, with observation that degree of Africanization has sometimes reached a point where, structurally speaking, the similarities between Chadic and Niger-Congo and Nilo-Saharan languages spoken in their immediate vicinity have become more striking than between Chadic and other Hamitic, Semitic, slash Afro-Asiatic languages, particularly that damn Berber or Semitic language. These obvious surface similarities between Chadic and non-Chadic languages in Central Sudan put an additional task load on researchers' shoulders. Nevertheless, Newman is in the opinion that some points of resemblance in morphology and lexicon are so striking that if one did not assume relationship, they would be impossible to explain away. There is methodological lessons to be gained in examining Newman's argument, which has been considered strong evidence of Afro-Asiatic.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Looks like they are critical of reconstruction, but still believe in the Afro-Asiatic language phylum. Oh, that's too bad, FBA. You see what happens? I gave you a nice summary, and your own sources blew you the fuck off like I told you.
But the people who did
every time.
Okay. Oh no! But the people who did this examination were Campbell and Pastor. What the fuck are you talking about? The fuck are you talking about, Bodie? Campbell and Pastor did this. They're talking about Newman and his attempts to keep saying the shit's real, despite the evidence that it's not. Shut the fuck up.
You're trying to use Newman, right? You're in your argument. You're using Newman to say
I use an examination of Newman, Strabo, and Everett by Campbell and Pastor in 2008, a decade after their failed attempts to reconstruct the shit. Campbell and Pastor are the ones talking about the evidence and Newman's stubbornness to keep the shit going, despite the fact that he has no viable evidence to sustain the shit. That's what Campbell and Pastor are talking about.
Yeah, so if you could just allow me to speak instead of muting me like a coward, right? You claim that they failed to reconstruct it. That's not even what your article states. The article states that they had two very different reconstructions, not that they failed to reconstruct it. There's
He's a lawyer, y'all. He's a
and
lawyer.
There's also
y'all.
A big
Lord.
Difference. Let me finish. Oh, yeah.
They literally failed to be consistent in their reconstruction.
The last full bay, JD, you know what I'm talking about. But anyways, it's also very different to say that, hey, Chadic is problematic in the reconstruction because it has been influenced by Nilo-Saharan and Niger-Congo languages. That is different than saying Chadic is not related to other Afro-Asiatic languages. But even if, right, and this is not the claim of your actual source, right, they were saying, well, Chadic is not really Afro-Asiatic, right, which is not their claim. But even if that was their claim, that is very much a distinct problem from saying, well, we don't know what Afro-Asiatic is. They do. The question is how to reconstruct it. Which parts of Chadic are actually Chadic? And which parts of Chadic come from Nilo-Saharan or Niger-Congo?
They can't
languages.
Discern it.
Nevertheless,
they can't discern it
because
it's so muddled
up.
That's what they said.
I'm not finished. Nevertheless, okay, you're just going to mute me. See the pettiness? These people are very angry with me for some reason. Nevertheless, right? I'm going to read from the article. Newman is of the opinion that some points of resemblance in morphology and lexicon are so striking that if one did not assume relationship, they would be impossible.
That's because they're all original.
And so this
is because they're all originally African languages, as Obenga stated. It's called Negro Egyptian. That shit's been proven. They all are related. It's just the omission of Niger Congo from that Egyptian relationship that the white boys are trying to hammer on, dummy.
You can cry about it, but nevertheless, right?
Do you understand what he just said, Bodie? Do you understand at all?
The importance, hold up. I'd love for him to cite a credible source on that. So, anyways, Nevertheless, FBHA, this is the importance of reading your sources before you make arguments on them. I'll leave it
there. You just said, well, they said that there's striking similarities despite you didn't know it's Afro-Asiatic, nigga. Obangas created the fucking Negro-Egyptian fucking phylum, which proved that every African language except for Berber and Khoisan are related. So you talking about there's some relationship between them. Yeah, they're all African and ultimately in origin. So except for Semitic. Well, some people argue.
Okay. Well, hold on. Yeah, but we just wasted like 30 minutes going in a circle, reading it out like if he's a fucking toddler. And we have to like discuss the Bantu origin of all this stuff. We went through the Cameroon archives. We have the Tamil connection. Yes, this is West African history if you define West Africa accurately.
You guys have no interest in West Africa. That's why we're talking about Egypt right now.
Hold on. See, this is what I mean. This motherfucker acts stupid. So there's a whole fucking, because this nigga act fucking dumb. Like, this is a stupid ass nigga, dog. So there's a whole fucking page on the African origins of civilization where he says that these Africans who are in West Africa, they came from an earlier genesis. This dumb motherfucker every day sits here and says, why are you trying to connect Egypt to Africa? Bitch, if it's a whole page saying that they came from the East, why the fuck you keep asking that stupid ass question every week? He's fucking dumb, y'all. He's trying to be dumb.
He's not dumb. That's what I'm trying to get through you.
Your mouth when you talk to me, okay?
He's not dumb. He's a time-wasting troll, a.k.a. a white supremacist. I don't care if he's black. I don't care about his genetics anymore. This guy has a political identity of a white supremacist terrorist. He's right, here.
Hold on. Bodhi's here because he is going to, you know, play the gavel. Aromo, did you want to say something real quick?
Yeah. As far as the whole language thing and language families go, I just think that It's always going to be a back and forth until you guys learn the languages fluently. I think at the very least, you would have to have somebody sitting here that's fluent in both the languages. It kind of be like somebody that's from another country and doesn't really speak English like that, or doesn't speak English at all, and they're trying to use Google Translate to put things together. I think that once you guys get a solid, fluent understanding of the languages, then this will go a whole lot smoother. I think you could find connections a whole lot better.
Absolutely, Aromo,
we were discussing the Bantu Somalia Kenya Tamil connection that we discovered weeks ago, and we still have to do a podcast on that subsection because we have compelling evidence that does not require Google. The words are literally the same daily acknowledgement phrases from Cameroonian Bantu into East Indian Tamil,
Japanese. Someone who has, it looks like, an Egyptian and a Liberian flag and the audience. I'm wondering how they feel about the idea of ancient Egyptian being a Niger-Congo language.
It's not even about ancient Egyptian at this point. We have already found the primordial language.
My thing is
who cares about somebody who didn't even know about the civilization until 100 fucking years ago? I'm just saying. Well, 200 years ago.
Well, I will say
it seems again, like this is a lot of cope. I understand you wrap your
One thing I don't do is if a motherfucker invades a land, I'm not gonna act like he is the originator of the shit 200 years later. I'm not gonna put him on the pedestal and say your opinion matters because you're there now. You a dumbass nigga, boy. No, I don't give a fuck what they think.
I mean, FBHA, you're arguing that Lucifer just off the wall. He called me a white terrorist. That's funny, I gotta admit. But FBA Trey, you're off your rocker too, right? Because you're saying, oh, I agree with the white orthodox opinion. What are you talking
you
about?
Do, nigga.
Excuse me.
You
I'm do. Always fighting and arguing. I'm literally blocked by so many Arabs, Habibis, and white people because of what
you
I
do it. You do it the do. Safe way, nigga. You do it my old way. You do it the way I did it 10 years ago, the bitch way.
Like, I got blocked.
I'm glad that you at one point had the right opinion. You know, I'm glad that you at one point were educated. I don't know what happened after that.
Because the difference between me thinking now and me thinking, I'll go on to Nile Valley. I will go on to Egypt Search, go to Nile Valley data. I will read those fucking quotes. I will not look into them. The quotes is put out there by a Hamitic centric motherfucker.
So he's just putting out there the shit he want out there. He's not putting the X-ray Atlas shit out there showing that the New Kingdom, that the New Kingdom mummies, Ramses III and them, they match the fucking West African Jebel Sahaba samples. They don't talk about that shit. They want to put the shit, the Horners and all that shit. I had to see past that after the DNA analysis, DNA tribes, DNA consultant, conspiracy of a harem, peer-reviewed. It all linked it to West African, Central African, Southern African. So that cultural shit that I was ignoring before, cause I seen the cultural shit before I seen the 100-word list. I saw that shit way before the DNA. I ignored it because I'm like, there's nothing really substantiating that in my view at the time. But when I saw that DNA shit come out and I saw a bunch of goofy ass niggas really trying to ignore the implications of that consistent evidence, I just really had to put two and two together. It's some niggas who are really scared of the truth because they don't know how to think about themselves. They don't know about how that implication of truth would change how they see themselves. It scares them. And they feel a way when they see a motherfucker look just like them, embrace that, which they're scared to embrace. But, you know, whatever.
So I will have to say really quickly, we look to Sway Keita a lot, and he talks a lot about this least moves and greatest diversity principle. So when we're talking about this in occurrence to these phylums, we're talking about languages that would be primarily in Africa, have nothing to do with and languages outside of Africa. So he also codifies this. This is vetted through UNESCO, first established by Obenga and also Anta Diop, in which none of the detractors had anything of substance to bring to the table in order to nullify. So that would be a testament to Diop and Obenga at that UNESCO conference as well.
Does he support the Bantu hypothesis at all? Okay, cool.
Hold on, Bodhi, because I didn't interrupt you. So when we're talking about this Afro-Asiatic language family, again, it's a family, it's a group. We have to break it down to its earliest state, its most archaic state. And again, that earliest state would be Bantu. Again, even PNAS went on to corroborate the fact that Bantu languages have traditionally been grouped into two major large branches in the Eastern and Western hemisphere, and that the Eastern Bantu language was covered largely by an African Great Lakes region. As we know, the Great Lakes region is known to be the cradle and the crib of pre-dynastic Egypt and its way up.
This is all pseudo-babble.
I quoted UNESCO and PNAS.
I explained this to FBA Trey, by the way, right? Is that what you guys do is you take articles summarizing arguments from various people from UNESCO. So UNESCO will be like, Roger said this. And then you crop out the fact that they also include in these articles the counter arguments to these arguments or the counter evidence to these arguments.
There was none.
And so UNESCO could be citing, of course there were none. UNESCO could be citing someone saying, oh, pigs can fly, right? This person said pigs can fly. And the same article, they'll talk about like, well, actually pigs don't have wings and are not anatomically built to fly. And you guys will just take the part where they say, oh, someone said pigs can fly and pretend as if that is rubber stamped by UNESCO. That is what FBA Trey does, and I see that that's what you do. And I don't think you're doing yourself favors. Let me finish.
Go ahead.
I don't think you're doing yourselves favors because you're just discrediting UNESCO in the minds of people, especially like me, right? UNESCO is actually a good source, I think. But the things that you're doing with it make it just seem less credible in everyone's minds when you say, well, UNESCO said this. And you know what? Just cite the scholar who makes that argument. That'll be sufficient.
So no, it wouldn't be a scholar. It wouldn't be a single scholar. I would say, again, it would be Obenga and Diop that introduced it, and they had no real retort for it. In fact, if you read the conclusion of the UNESCO article, they go on to say that African language, I have to find it in verbatim, but that is in fact the conclusion that they give all credit to an African people as well. This would not be any type of outside influence. Again, when we're talking about a family, we're not trying to break everything down by a family. We're breaking it down in a singular form at its most archaic form, which again cannot be confused. They said
archaic form. So if Bantu was the first language,
the archaic form would be Bantu. That's what they said verbatim.
Where did
Cushitic not say anything else would be from the most archaic.
Where did Cushitic and Nilo-Saharan and San people come from? Because we know San people were the first people. So how could Bantu be the oldest language?
We didn't have to say they had
Khoisan.
It come
from. Khoisan is not the oldest people, bro. L0, 10 years ago, was central to Central Africa. So it's not even Southern Africa. It's Central Africa.
So we've already
mtDNA of our mothers comes from Central Africa. Do you understand that?
Lucifer, I'm not engaging with you. I don't think you're smart enough, frankly, right?
Okay, but do you acknowledge a fact?
FBHA Maroc, sand people, oldest people, right? They don't speak Bantu.
Hold on. How old are this Khoisan population, by the way?
Some people, 200,000, 150,000. It depends, but around there, yeah.
Okay, Cameroonians go back with a Y male DNA lineage in seven brothers right now that we know about within the last few years, 300,000 BC. Genetic continuity from one Please male DNA lineage in Cameroon. How are the Khoisan older than 300,000 if they don't have an older lineage?
Well, I've already posted it. I have to look at my replies. I don't want to go deep into
Okay,
it.
Well, you got to go double check your Khoisan definition, bro.
No, I don't have to double
check.
They're
not even second. They're not even second oldest now. Do you know that? The Native American black man in South Carolina, he is older than all of humanity, and he has a continuous Y male DNA that predates genetic Adam. 387,000 years.
Sir, I need you to really think for me for a second. Calm down, right? Think. You're saying that the man is older than 200,000 years old? Are you saying the Y DNA is? Because I'm not talking about Y DNA. I'm talking about populations. The oldest African population and the oldest human population.
Okay, guess what? Okay, guess what? His Y DNA lineage began in Central Africa as well. So you have two hyper ancient populations.
The Khoisan were in Central Africa then, but the oldest African
population. The Khoisan also come from Central Africa. So they're not the oldest even from Central Africa. So this nonsense you're spouting is nonsense. That's all it is.
What's older than the San people?
Wait, hold on.
Yes, they are now two identified populations older than the Khoisan people from Central Africa, and all three of them are from Central Africa originally.
What's the name of the oldest you said?
Hold on, Akin. Because we're going to introduce other people to talk once we wrap up Straight Facts. We're about to do that now because it's about to go a little over the time. So, yes, again, I hope everyone did enjoy the Straight Facts portion of the West African Empires. Find full episodes of the podcast featuring Straight Facts on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. Also, check out our Instagram for more Maroc Oris content, including the shop and our subscription service for exclusives. Peace, Maroc.